This is a prayer treatment, extemporaneous, from the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. The title is 0-7, Man, Reflection of Omni-Perfect God, Here and Now. 0-7 represents the beginning to the end of all seven synonymous terms that are known to define God. These have all been assimilated and revealed by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science. Christian means that it relies on the teachings of Christ Jesus, which include transformation of thought, which results in healing. Healing refers to replacing any thought that is unlike perfect God and perfect man with the thoughts that do claim and insist on both God and God's image and likeness, man, being perfect. Mary Baker Eddy has stated clearly that the Bible was her only reference in staying on the path of the straight and narrow to discover truth. Therefore, in referring to the definition of God, as stated by Mary Baker Eddy, can all be verified by researching the Bible. This includes a description of the functions of each of the seven terms as they relate to defining God. These seven terms are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. She includes other terms to describe features such as incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Also, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, all-substance, and intelligence. She defines good also as God by the following definition. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. If one thinks about these terms that were just mentioned and connect the dots that are provided in Genesis chapter 1 through verse 3 of chapter 2, one will find that it ends with the statement that everything God made was very good. And then God rested on the seventh day. Contemplating this, it's easy to rationalize that God could not know anything or create anything that is unlike himself. It also becomes more clear as one studies that God is infinite. There is absolutely no limit to God's realm. Therefore, since it becomes revealed that God is infinite, and it's clearly stated that God created everything very good, that means the only thing that exists is good, and not its opposite, which is evil. Looking at each of these seven terms briefly, the word mind refers to anything that is mental activity. Mind must be divine, meaning perfect and good. Therefore, anything that is not good is not real, because God is infinite, and there is no place for anything unlike God to exist. Therefore, every moment that we devote to thought, speech, or action that is imperfect and unlike God is a total waste of time, thought, speech, and action. For we are devoting time to unreality and establishing something in consciousness that is unlike God creates nothing but confusion and clouds the picture. Verse 6 of chapter 2 of Genesis states that there went up a mist. Everything stated about creation that is included in the mist, which includes the entire story of Adam and Eve, is a fake, a fraud, a misunderstanding of God. If one reviews utilizing an interlinear dictionary such as Strong's, they will find that the word used for God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1 up through the end of that entire story of the spiritual creation, and the beginning of the next phase is totally different terms for the word God. Therefore, if one wants to get the real view of what God is, they will stick to utilizing descriptions that define God as Elohim, and not other terms which are unlike the perfect God as defined in the Bible. Verse 26 of Genesis 1 says, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." And then verse 27 says, "And so God made man in his image and likeness." Therefore, the title to this prayer treatment that says that man reflects the omni-perfect God here and now is totally supported by Genesis chapter 1. And note that this is the first statement about God and man in the entire Bible is Genesis chapter 1. Genesis, of course, represents beginning. Even though the source of the original text for Genesis chapter 1 is at a later date than Genesis chapter 2, God apparently had his hand in arranging the chapters of the Bible. And therefore, the true record of God and man is in the Bible, preceding the fake record. Which record are we going to accept as our heritage? It's an individual decision. We each have an opportunity to decide what we want to reflect and what we will reflect. One of them gives us a true picture of heaven, and the other gives us a true picture of its opposite. There are three quotes at the beginning of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. 1. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." 2. "Nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." 3. "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." The quotations that will be provided will probably all come from the home page of the website, mbeinstitute.org. However, since this is an extemporaneous prayer treatment, which is easily verified by just listening to the prayer treatment from beginning to end, because it will not be refined or polished because it is totally unedited. And this is true of all 400 plus prayer treatments on the website. It's easy to refer to mathematics whenever one thinks about Christian Science. The two words Christian Science were given to the discovery of Mary Baker Eddy long before the existence of Professor Einstein. However, some more dots that can be connected is that Einstein stated that religion without science is blind and science without religion is lame. Christian Science dissolves that dilemma because it provides both religion and science. To the knowledge of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Christian Science is the only religion that includes healing in the religion. Healing of everything. Sin, disease, sickness, death. They've all been healed through Christian Science. Here are more references from Dr. Einstein. Imagine, a woman discovered this 80 years ago, based on Christian Science being discovered in 1866. That statement was likely made around 1946. He also said, "Blessed art thou, because everything that really is in this book." This refers to Mary Baker Eddy and to the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Dr. Einstein had a friend, Dr. Underwood, who was in the Atomic Energy Commission for the United States, and everyone passed on except for him. Upon inquiry, he stated that he had been healed through Christian Science. Even though Einstein had heard of Christian Science and kind of dabbled around with it, he did not take it seriously until he learned about his friend, Dr. Underwood. Then he started attending the local church and frequently visited the reading room for deep study of the textbook. After the serious study, that's when he made these various statements. The last 101 pages of the textbook includes 486 verified healings from 85 testifiers. And these testimonies are in the Christian Science publications, all prior to December 1910, which is when the final edition, number 432, was published by Mary Baker Eddy. This edition is on the website and includes Mary Baker Eddy's picture, which is one of the things that one wants to look at if one is going to study an edition of Science and Health, because now it is not published by the church. In fact, they removed her picture the day that she went around the corner where she was no longer visible, and also they copyrighted the book, which was purposely left uncopyrighted by its author. In thinking about the title, the items that have been included in this prayer treatment gives one the foundation so they can really think along the lines of exactly what the title is stating. Man is not an independent entity. Man experiences individually exactly what he reflects of the one and only source of reality, which is God. Mathematics has 10 digits, 0 through 9. It has 4 operators, at least at the basic level, which is add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Mary Baker Eddy refers to Christian Science as divine metaphysics. She states that she has reduced divine metaphysics to a system. Think about that. That is one of the most valuable statements that she has made in the entire textbook. And she also states that there are 32 planks to the platform of the system of divine metaphysics. And when those 32 planks are both understood and lived in both the letter and the spirit, then the infallibility of the system of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Translation, healing will be the result. What's the first step? The website has a link entitled Heal Everything. It's in the footer. It's on the home page. It's in the menu. It has been on the website for a long time. What kind of a life did everyone that made a great benefit to humanity illustrate? What kind of an example were they? Does it seem obvious that we should try to learn from those who have already done it, made a major, lasting contribution to humanity? The true record of the true, real, spiritual creation is in Genesis chapter 1. What is the very first thing that happens in day 1? It's broken into 7 distinct days, and it even names them as the first day, the second day, and so forth. And the very first thing in the first day is, let there be light. Light. Does it have anything to do with the sun or the moon or the stars? No. It is from mind. Not a mortal mind from a brain, but the divine mind from God. That is where true enlightenment originates. So we must start with mind, the real mind, the divine mind, the perfect mind, the one that is infinite, not a sinning mortal mind, which is not a true mind, but a fake. And the sixth day is when God, in the spiritual record, mentions man. In other words, everything else has already been done. How can man reflect God until he has already taken care of everything else? Everything was done. We don't create anything. We can only discover what has already been true. And is there anything new that is true? The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. We can't take credit for anything except discovering it individually. And we have to be very careful. Because if there's one thing that society rejects, it's something new. Something that is not understood. Something that is not individually experienced and proven to be true. Humanity is under the belief that their heritage is from Adam and Eve, which came about in confusion, in a mist. Over the centuries, man was not taught that he came from God, but that he came from Adam and Eve, born a sinner, Is that the heritage that we should be choosing for our heritage that we want to reflect? Or are we going to have a higher standard? In mathematics, you don't try to improve that 2 plus 2 equals 4.1 or 3.9. You replace it with the answer of 4. We cannot improve error or evil or a mistake of any kind whatsoever. It must be replaced with the truth. Everyone that has made a great advancement to the benefit of humanity had to do one thing, and there's a line that connects them all together. They had to have a life of giving, not taking. They had to be searching for the truth, not trying to justify their opinion. They had to follow wherever the truth led them. They had to be giving up any bias whatsoever. They had to be giving. They can't be taking. Anyone that tries to steal from what someone else has done is going to come to a dead end. Full credit must always be given to the source of anything that we're utilizing. Therein lies the problem in the church that was founded by Mary Baker Eddy, removing her picture from the textbook was their first major mistake, trying to separate the discoverer from the discovery. And what has it led to? Most major cities had as many as 40 or 50 churches. And now, if you can find 2 or 3 active ones of really devoted Christian Scientists, you're going to be lucky. They've destroyed it. It's been destroyed because they tried to destroy the founder, the discoverer, the leader. They wanted to steal, and you can't get ahead by stealing. Even in the movies, the writers are clever enough and intelligent enough to always have the bandits looking for one more deal because they don't have any money. They're trying to survive, so they have to do one more bank robbery or whatever it is, train robbery. The only result that an evil act brings is limitation, failure. You can't get ahead by taking. Taking means you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. Taking means you're thinking only about yourself. Taking means that you are ignoring what the greatest people in mankind have done, and that is giving. Christ Jesus had a life of giving. Mary Baker Eddy had a life of giving. Joel Goldsmith, Wentworth Winslow, Frederick L. Rawson, all had a life of giving. The last three mentioned had 15-minute appointments as a Christian Science practitioner in their offices. At the end of 15 minutes, the patient was healed. They gave their whole being to truth, to solving problems, helping people that were in need and wanted to be helped. There's no limit to the good that anyone can do if they have that kind of a motive in their life. I read something recently that said, what can you take with you when you leave your present life. It said, you can't take anything with you that you've taken, but you can take everything with you that you've given away. How is that possible? Isn't it gone if you gave it away? Think about what have you given away and what have you taken. Taken is anything that you have received when you are the center of the topic. Given away is everything that someone else has benefited from when you're not thinking about yourself. One of Mary Baker Eddy's students came to her for assistance because they couldn't heal a problem that they were working on. She, being so very spiritual, knew before anyone opened their mouth what the problem was. He didn't even have to say anything. She knew what was in his thought and what had been in his life. But she had to waken him. She said, what do you do when you go down the street? In other words, there's people around you and so forth. Say like you're walking through a street in a city. He didn't know how to answer. So she said, are you a Christian Scientist? That woke him up. He was awakened like a very loud alarm clock in a sound sleep. He said, no, Mrs. Eddy, I am not a Christian Scientist. It awakened him. He knew what he should be doing, and he wasn't doing any of it. If you see an accident, if you see a stray dog, if you see somebody in a wheelchair, you see someone homeless on the street, sitting on the sidewalk. They don't even have a chair to sit on. Their house might be made out of cardboard, or maybe it's only a sleeping bag, or maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just lying down on the ground in their clothes. Everything we see deserves attention, one way or the other. If we see a good activity, we should give credit to the one and only real source of everything, all action. The definition of good included that God was omni-action, also omnipotent. Do we see something good that was done that required power? Are we giving credit to the one and only source of real power? Or what we're seeing is a symbol? The invisible is represented by visible symbols. Can you touch God? God was described earlier in this recording as incorporeal. Incorporeal. Divine, which means perfect, supreme, above everything, and infinite. No limit. No limit in any direction. When Mary Baker Eddy said infinite progression is concrete being, there's no end to the path of progress. And being, as being concrete, is only a symbol of permanence. How do we want our life to be? Shakespeare says, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Are we looking for the truth? The first quote was from Jesus. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Or are we looking to substantiate a bias? We're not going to be very successful as a researcher in any topic, in any profession, if we're only trying to justify a human opinion. Dale Carnegie over 100 years ago, was a wonderful researcher on how to be successful. He said, be careful about making a strong opinion about anything, because after you do that, you may find the opposite to be true and want to change your viewpoint. A Quaker was around some other people that were not Quakers, and someone asked him if he knew what the time of day was. And he pulls out a pocket watch, and he says, according to this alleged timepiece, it is approximately, and he gives him the time, that of course is moving as he's looking at his pocket watch, because it has a second hand on it that keeps moving. So he says, alleged timepiece, approximately, I was being humble. Are we humble? Are we open to following the truth to find out what really is going on? The word omni in the title refers to all, one, and only. In other words, the only that exists, and it's the one, the only one, one, only, and all. And God is omni everything. Everything about God is omni. God has no competition or opposition, because God is not a human. God is a term, three-letter term, that represents everything that is true about everything. Everything that is available for anyone and everyone to reflect. And one is only interested in reflecting when they know the benefits. It was mentioned about the 101 pages at the last, as the last chapter in the textbook. If one would read that, they would find what the benefits were to those 85 individuals that wrote their testimony and had them verified. It was mentioned that there were four operators in mathematics: add, subtract, multiply, and divide. There are four operators in the system of divine metaphysics: Word, Christ, Christianity, science. Word means everything that is true about God, the facts of God. The Bible has often been called the Word of God. But we have to be very careful, because there was a human input in the Bible. Just look at chapter 2 of Genesis. That obviously is a human input. The truth is obviously in chapter 1. Psalms 103 flips back and forth between truth and error. A God view and a mortal view. How can we take that first step of cultivating a life of giving? Just forget about healing. You need to transform the way you think about living. Jesus had trouble when he went to Galilee in the early part of his ministry. He thought they would gladly accept him after Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science. She thought, wow, all the churches are going to be coming flocking because I've discovered how to heal. They fought her tooth and nail because she was fighting all of the institutions, not the people. The institutions were controlling the people. The institutions are controlling all the governments worldwide. In fact, galactic as well. I believe you would be hard-pressed to find anyone that made really a substantial contribution to humanity by cultivating a life of giving everything they had, every ounce of effort, every ounce of energy and time. Clara Barton is a good example. She worked tirelessly to help those that had been injured in war. Of course, being in war is a political thing caused not by individuals, but by those who wanted to control individuals. She was eventually recognized for the great good that she did. But what did she say about Mary Baker Eddy? This is on the website. Mary Baker Eddy did the greatest good for all mankind. Christian Science is the most potent factor in religious life. One would be very hard pressed to find anyone that made a substantial contribution to humanity that was recognized for it at the time. Fibonacci was a genius of a mathematician from Italy. He discovered the mathematical relationships between many, many things, even condensing it down to the leaf pattern on a tree, cycles. He discovered very important things about cycles. He told the rulers of the country of Italy that they were going to come upon very bad times. They didn't like it. They wouldn't accept it. He was proven to be right, but he had a very difficult life. Many are murdered to prevent the truth from being published. No, the churches didn't come flocking to Mary Baker Eddy when she discovered how to heal, when she discovered the science behind the healings of Jesus that were classified as miracles by everyone that didn't understand what happened. Did Jesus have a life of taking or giving? He went through the misery of crucifixion on purpose, because he realized that he needed to prove to society that there was no life, truth, or intelligence in matter. That they could not kill the truth. They could try. They could temporarily give the appearance that they killed his body, but it didn't last very long. He knew in advance that he would overcome it in 3 days and announced it. What did everyone think of Jesus? How many came to his trial? He taught probably 50 or 75,000 people in two different sessions that we know of. 4,000 in one and 5,000 in the other, and they only counted men. And yet the people that were there included the whole family. So if they figure there was a wife and a few children in each family, there were probably 4, 5, 6 times as many people that attended each of those two sessions. And he fed them all with like nothing. On one, it said that he had like, I think, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they had 12 baskets full of things when it was all done. So he ended up with more supply than what he started with. after feeding everyone, what was he really feeding them? Matter or spirit? Copernicus. You can go through all of history and you can find that the truth was rejected and the people went through tremendous suffering. Many, as mentioned, were murdered to try to prevent the truth from being known. So step number one is to recognize that we should be learning from everyone else who has been tremendously successful. And this means they had very substantial contributions to the benefit of all humanity. Mary Baker Eddy giving those three quotes at the beginning of the textbook was not accidental. We have to start by understanding that we better be searching for truth, not substantiating an opinion. We have to realize that our thinking has a direct impact on our experience. And we have to realize that our prayer needs to be, as the Bible states, without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, the Bible states. That means our life, every thought, speech, and action is our prayer. Are we doing it in a spiritual or a material way? Are we doing it in a giving or a taking way? If we're an employee, are we giving to our employer everything that we can possibly give? Or are we trying to justify how little we're being paid for what we're doing? Are we going the extra mile and not worried about whether we were going to get paid for it, but it's just because it is the correct thing to do? We want to give, not take. It says, "Thou hast heard my prayer." The third quote. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer. And I am blessed. This is thy great behest, thou here and everywhere. If we get ourselves in alignment with the laws of the universe, we're going to benefit from those laws, from being in alignment with it. Do you think that it makes sense to go back to the beginning of what we think our existence is and correct by replacing the thought that we came from a sensual relationship between a man and a woman, and that our heritage is Adam and Eve? Does it make sense to you that a man had his rib removed and made a woman, and then the woman and man got together and made another human being? I mean, is there any logic in that at all? What is the symbol for a medicine man? A serpent coiled around a stick, a pole, a serpent. I'd rather have an angel coming from the sky as my symbol for where I want to get my thoughts or get my healing. Everyone has to make their own decisions. I'm not here to work out your salvation. You're not here to work out my salvation. We have to individually see it. And we have to realize how evil operates. And it operates in the opposite way that truth operates. The opposite. That's why we have to flip it. Means we have to change it 180 degrees. If we want to heal after we have converted our life to a life of giving, we have to go back to the beginning. Think about birth. What is true birth? Birth means bringing forth. Not anything new. As the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. Truth has always been true. There is no such thing as a new truth. Frederick L. Rawson describes it very well when he says it's a rearrangement of what was always true. When SpaceX sent a rocket into space and brought it back and landed it in its own launching pad, that was a rearrangement of what we previously understood to be possible. He used the same mathematical tables and advanced physics and everything else that was always true, that had been previously discovered. But the company under the leadership of who very well you know his name, utilized it in a more advanced way than what was previously realized could be done. They used the same truth about mathematics and physics and so forth. We have to give credit to the one and only source of all intelligence. That's giving. We're giving credit to where it's due. Don't you think that when it says that everything you've given away you can take with you, could refer to the qualities that you utilized when you were giving? They never leave. They're omnipresent. There was a fellow that was very desperate. He was out of everything he needed to survive. So he went to the entrance to heaven, knocked on the door. An angel came to the door. He said, I've run out of this, 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 and this. I need help. I understand God has everything. And if I don't have anything else I can do or turn to, I can come to God. And the angel said, I don't think we have what you're looking for. And he said, but God is supposed to have everything. He says, hold on, I'll go talk to God. So the angel explains to God what the man wants. And God said, we have everything. An infinite supply of everything. Tell him he can have whatever he wants and as much as he wants. So the angel thought about what God said, and he went back and translated it in terms that the man would understand. And he said, I talked to God. And he said, you can have as much as you want of everything you need. But the problem is, you want to replace what you don't have with the same thing that you had. And we don't have anything here that you can run out of, because everything is an infinite supply. So we can't give you what you're asking for. We can't give you whatever money that you can run out of, or a house, or a family, or a job. Because what we have, there's no limit to it, so you can't run out of it. People that are really successful, if they're open to try to help others, they'll say something like, if you want to really accomplish something great, you need to think big. You need to expand your view, your perspective. You have to break out of that box and you have to think big. Bigger than you've ever thought about before. He said, they say you can't accomplish something big if you're thinking little. Our experience is confined by our thinking. What do we want to experience? Do we want to experience limitation? Do we have anything that appears to be a result of a birth defect? Have we ever been told that we'll never be able to do this, that, or something else because we were born with this kind of a disease or this kind of a problem or this kind of a limitation? Or do we know anyone else that has been told the same thing? What does it say in Genesis 1? Does it talk about limitation? That man is limited? Jesus had someone along the wayside. I think it was about blindness. That he was born blind at birth. You know, he'd been blind since birth. And his disciple says, who did sin? This man, this child, or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. He said, the reason this is coming to our attention is so we can glorify God. How do we glorify God? By reflecting God in everything we think, say, and do. About ourselves and about everyone else. The Bible states in Genesis chapter 1, in every way, from beginning to end, about there being no limitation. And everything was good. Does good mean that there's limitation? Does good mean that someone is born with a birth defect? I've known, you know, we've probably seen it in a movie or something where it says, you know, they've had this birthmark, a defect on their skin, and they call it a birthmark. Are we going to let our thought include defects at birth? I don't care how minor or how major it seems to be. One's not any different than another because it is the concept. It's the idea that we are not willing to accept or we're not educated enough within our consciousness to accept that it doesn't talk about defects in the spiritual record of creation. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy translates the first three words of Genesis chapter 1 where it says, in the beginning, she translates it to mean in the only. In other words, the only creation there is. There is no beginning to truth. And there's no end to truth. There is to a lie, which is the opposite. Not only that, it changes all the time, trying to justify itself, creating one lie to cover up another one. But what does she say about lies? She says a lie and the liar are the same. In other words, a lie by itself has no existence unless we give it existence with our own thought. We let it use our mouth to talk a lie or to act out a lie or to think a lie. Jesus says that thinking about something is a criminal act, as if you did it. If you're thinking about a criminal act, if you're thinking about anything that's unwholesome, ungodlike, and boy, that's easy to do. We can see something and we can immediately form an opinion instead of filtering so that we don't get sucked into the Pandora box of evil. We have to guard our thought to prevent it. Wentworth Winslow, one of the three that had 15-minute appointments, he said, imagine yourself in a room, and on one side of the room there's a phone that's just ringing its head off, and on the other side is a radio, and he said this before there was television. He said, on the other side of the room there's a radio, and all it's doing is announcing the facts about God. One-way communication. No chance to pick it up and argue like a telephone. It's always there. It's omnipresent. Just announcing the truth about God and about you and me. Think of it as someone just reading off Genesis chapter 1. It's only talking about good. It's only talking about omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Incorporeal, supreme, divine, infinite. All-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, all-intelligence, the only substance. Mary Baker Eddy points out the importance of having a perfect model that one can refer to, so that if there's a suggestion of something ungodlike, that we can immediately transfer our thought over to a perfect model. Leaves the door wide open. Put together some phrases that you like. I know someone that utilized the scientific statement of being. It's on our homepage. The complete statement begins with, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind. And its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. I gave you the whole thing. But it's on the homepage. It's a wonderful thing to always keep in thought. Anyway, the one I was referring to, he used the scientific statement of being to heal a growth that he noticed that was above his eye and was kept growing. He was a lifelong Christian Scientist. He'd never been to a doctor, never had any kind of alternative medicine. He relied strictly on what he learned in Christian Science. He attended Sunday school since he was a young child. His parents were both Christian Scientists since they were young adults. In fact, they were in the child ages because they both had parents that had been healed in Christian Science while they were, I guess they were 6 or 8 or 10 years old. So he didn't have any other alternative. He didn't have any confidence in going to a so-called medical doctor. So he replaced or supplemented the word matter, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance, in the belief of matter, or in the belief of a growth above my eye. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. A belief of a growth above my eye is mortal error. And when it talks about, and man, put your own self in there. I am an image and likeness of God. That's further into the statement. I am an image and likeness of God. I know of another situation where a practitioner had been called to the home of someone that needed assistance. And they were busy when she first arrived there in a meeting, and so she had to wait in there in a place outside the door where the meeting was. And there was a Christian Science periodical lying on a table there. And she opened it up, and sure enough, there was a testimony in there that had a lot of things that could apply to this situation in healing this lady. And she took a pencil or a pen, And she went through the article, and every time it talked about, you know, generic way, she put the individual's name in there. And when the lady was done with her meeting, she came out and she says, I don't really need you because I've been healed now. So while the practitioner was substituting her name in the article, it was making an effect on her, on the one that needed help. Now, we can't just use words, and we can't just write words. We have to understand what they mean. That practitioner obviously understood what she was doing to be truth. Frederick L. Rassen was viewing out a window over 100 years ago, and he had a Christian Science friend by the name of Spalding that was standing next to him. I don't know, I guess they were probably discussing Christian Science. And this was before they had much in the way of motorized vehicles. And there was a man that drove by the window that had a cart full of rocks, and he was driving it with an animal. And he felt uneasy about something, so he stopped and got out and went back to look at the tailgate. And while he was back there, the animal was alarmed by something, probably a noise or something, and raised up and dropped a whole load of rocks on the man, covered him up. When Mr. Rassen saw that, he made one statement. There is nothing but God. With that, the man rocketed out from underneath the rocks, totally unharmed, as if nothing ever happened. Now, obviously, Mr. Rassen understood what he said, and it could have been only for the man who was standing next to him that he said it for his benefit. Just like in the Bible, the servant to one of the prophets made a statement when he was surrounded by an army that wanted to take him captive. And he told the man, his servant, he said, there's more with us than there is with them. He knew it, but he had to say it to wake up the servant. Just like Jesus, when Lazarus and Tabitha both appeared to be dead, he had to tell the people around that they were only sleeping. He didn't do it for his own benefit. He knew it. Like Einstein said, if we want to heal a problem, we have to do it from a different level from where the problem first appeared. We have to transform our consciousness from whatever is in there that is creating an appearance of the problem and find the truth that solves the problem, that dissolves it into its native nothingness. Frederick L. Rassen was so advanced that he learned how to treat back in time, where the healing took effect long before the individual came to see him to solve the problem. And he made it effective as soon as the individual discovered there was a problem. It could have been 10, 20 years before. He did it over 500 times, according to his own publication. Not to brag, but to just say it wasn't just a one-time miracle thing. It was something that had a definite scientific basis for it, and he explains that in his books. Two different books. He relates it. One is Life Understood, and the other one is Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. The Treatment or Healing by True Prayer relates, has a chapter on applied treatment, and he names specifically 1,315 different healings. He explains what the material sense of it is, describes it in a few words, and then he gives you the spiritual ideas that are the reverse of what the claim is that will heal the situation. Wentworth Winslow had a man from another country that sought healing. He didn't say anything other than 6 treatments, please. It just occurred to me, I think I gave this to you in the early part. But if it's a repeat, then please overlook it. Everything is extemporaneous, and this came to me right now, so I'm saying it, even though it may have already been said. So he didn't know anything about the situation, and the only thing he could think of to do was to give serious consideration with everything he was thinking, saying, and doing, and make sure that it was his highest sense of purity. And after a period of time, he got another telegram. This was long before telephone was available. And it said, 6 more treatments, please. So he continued on. He didn't know what else to do. And then eventually he got a 3rd telegram. And it said, thank you for your work. It was very successful. The 1st 6 treatments healed the problem. The 2nd one healed the thought of everyone that couldn't believe that the healing had been done. And this one is to explain it to you. It was a case of insanity, and it was for a friend. So after 6 treatments, it was healed. Neither one mentioned how they knew that the timing was this, how the fellow knew that the 6 treatments were over and wanted 6 more. And, of course, Wentworth Winslow had no details on the situation. He was living in New York, and he found out later that this guy was in Brazil. He knew that the telegram came from, I don't know, it may have said Brazil, but he didn't know any details about anything else. So we have to make sure we include in our treatment everything about everyone that may have an opinion about the problem. We have to know that there is no communication from one human to another, but all communication is from God to man directly. And the only communication there can be is what God's qualities are being manifested in every single person, not as a human, but as a child of God. The qualities of God are automatically a part of every individual. We have to discover it. We have to claim it. And we have to live like we know it. You could think about fake it until you make it. In other words, you may not understand it, but you say it anyway. I am the image and likeness of God. You can either do that or you can claim the opposite. It's up to you. What do you want as a result? Remember Shakespeare. Nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What do we want to be made so with us? What do we want to manifest? How are we going to think about our life? How are we going to think about every single thing that we see, or hear, or feel, or taste, or smell? When we smell, are we going to smell the wonderful fragrance of a lovely flower, or a bloom, maybe a rose? What we see, are we going to see the manifestation of God? Jesus saw the perfect man. Even though he was sitting there and everybody thought that he was whatever problem he had. Jesus didn't accept that. He projected his thought, not receiving the thought of a mortal with problems. He looked through the lens of spirit. He blocked the lens of matter that was trying to project anything different. He claimed it had no power. Frederick L. Rosen says what we should do, and this is in his book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. He said, just say a very simple statement. There is no, and then name the problem. And then immediately transfer your thought to the facts about God. And the exact opposite of the claim about the matter, the problem. And that's what's so valuable about that 1,315 different ailments that he provides the opposite for. In other words, he tells you what the function of an arm should be. If you have a broken arm, you can refer to that. You need to look at the text to get a better idea of what I'm referring. All the tools are on the website, mbeinstitute.org. We can't let anything be unnoticed that needs to be healed. It's up to us to not be following what Edmund Burke says the problem is. Said this, I don't know, 200 or 300 years ago. Edmund Burke, B-U-R-K-E. It's credited to him. He said, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Are we a nothing doer? We know there's something needs to be done and we do nothing about it. If we're in a house and the house is on fire, do we just sit there and be burned up? Or do we run for our life? If you're a Christian Scientist, you're going to be running for your life and you're going to be saying a prayer while you're running. There is no fire. There can be no harm to man. There can be no harm to any idea of God. And you help any others that you can help while you're on the way out the door. We have a section on our homepage that says, is there any benefit to being a Christian Scientist? If you have an interest, go to the home page and you'll see it and you can read it. If you remember that science without religion is lame and religion without science is blind, then you will want to research the solution. And if you're not ready, then do nothing. You're not ready. It doesn't matter what you read. If you've got a thought that says, hey, I'm happy with everything in my life, everything is wonderful, then you're obviously not interested in something different. And there's nothing wrong with your speed versus anyone else's speed. Your life is your life, and you have a right to live it any way you want to. Hopefully that does not include bringing harm to other people, because no, you don't have a right to do that. God is omnipresent. His laws are omnipresent. They're always in operation. So when we do decide, if we ever do, that we want to explore something better than what we are experiencing in our lives, then you've been introduced to one possible solution. And that's our purpose. Mary Baker Eddy gave 7 very special treatments to her finest final class in the Metaphysical College. And that class was in 1898. 138 years ago. Time flies. We're now in 26. So 1898 is, 128 years ago. One for each of the seven synonymous terms, and they're all titled Diapason of Heaven. If you look up diapason, by the way, we recommend the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, and you can find many references if you go to OneLook, OneLook.com, and you can look up any word, and it will give you what the definition is from a large number of resources. And if the 1828 is listed for the one word you're looking up, then highly recommend that you click on that one. He was a very spiritual man, quoting the Bible in many of his definitions and uses of a particular word. So these were all called Diapason of Heaven. And if you look that up, you'll see that it means compound concord. And that's what heaven is. A compound of concord. Not discord. Not chaos. Not dis-ease. But concord. Balance. Harmony. I shall read to you one of those seven terms. And the title, again, is 0 to 7, Man, Reflection of Omniperfect God, Here and Now. That's how Frederick L. Rawson overcame the belief of time. One of the things in his discovery about how to heal back in time. Very interesting research he did. Very effective as a Christian Science practitioner and healer. Of course, the healing is done by truth. I shall recite one of the Diapason of Heaven prayer treatments that was provided by Mary Baker Eddy to her final class. And after this class, she referred people to her writings. So for the next 12 or 13 years, she continued to make many revisions to her writings. And also, she started the Christian Science Monitor worldwide. If any other thoughts come to me after reciting this prayer, I will do it after I say amen for the prayer. And at the very end of this recording, you will hear the words, the end. That means that it is over. Okay, here is the Diapason of Heaven with a focus on life. Life is holy. We must hallow this word, for it is a sacred name for God. Declare often, there is only one life, and that is God. There is no personal life. My life is God, an infinite, incorporeal, all-encompassing, all-present, all-active, everlasting life. Declare that God, good, is the only life of man and the universe. Life is divine. Divine life is my God, and my God is life. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. This is the word of God. Declare all the truths about life. Claim this revealed life as yours. All of life is right where you are, right now. Amen. One thought did occur to me, and that is Mary Baker Eddy devoted time every hour to self-examine. She was attacked all the time by even her own board of directors. She wanted to make sure in this self-examination, which she did every hour of her waking day, that she was only thinking, speaking, and acting in a wholesome manner, a godlike manner, and not responding or replying or arguing with error in any form from anyone, no matter what. Her lifeboat was the real truth about God and His reflection man. And that's what she cultivated. It is Sunday, February 22 at 10:14. Thank you for listening to this prayer treatment on 0-7 man, reflection of omniperfect God, here and now. The end.